Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Kelly, would you like me to do a quick roll call for you, Barry, Don, and Michael?
Sure, that'd be helpful. Barry.
We have got a few people on the call. We have Yahuvi Atuin, Barry Cobb, Reg Levy, Don Blumenthal, Chuck Gomes, and Michael Young. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Natalie Perry-Green, myself, Glenda Saint-Jury, and Gisela Gruber. Thank you very much, Barry, or Don, or Michael. Please say your name before you speak for the transcription purposes. Thank you. Over to you.
I appreciate it. We're going to, what probably works best, and it seemed to be that way this morning, is we'll go through the formal presentation, ask participants to hold questions or comments until the end. I'm going to say, please use the hands up button and connect. In Adobe Connect, or say something, but I see that it looks like the connection problem we had has resolved itself, looking at the list of participants, so hopefully it'll stay that way. And, just focus on the chat room icon there. In any event, my name's Don Blumenthal. I'm with the Public Interest Registry, do policy work, and have been involved in Who Is efforts since I was with the Federal Trade Commission, U.S. FTC, in 1999, when we sent comments to during the formation of ICANN, raising issues about accuracy and availability of Who Is data. 13 years later, still wrapped up in Who Is issues, and a lot of them are the same and some new ones. So I kind of come by this semi-honestly. Been working with the group since the beginning. What I want to do is go through these slides, kind of give some background, and then give you an idea of what the survey is all about for people who haven't seen it. I'm going to apologize in advance. I found out in this morning's session, as usual, I run a little bit stream of consciousness in presentations. I've been known to drive my students absolutely insane. So if I kind of get off onto something that's not quite in the slides, chances are it'll be there. I've just kind of jumped the gun, and you'll see in a minute. A way of life. To begin with, as I mentioned, I want to do a background on what the working group has done. We've been around. I was surprised when I was leafing through some documents this morning. Some of the initial documents go back to last June. So it's been a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of time. And we have finally gotten to the critical point of issuing a survey. I'm going to go over the survey and its segments. I'm not going to go through question by question, or we'd be here for a few hours. And in the middle there, I'm going to ask Barry to bring the survey tool up, just to give an idea of what the types of options are, not any specific questions. I'm having trouble with the mouse, so I hope not to do that slide jumping. Generally, this whole process started just about 3 years ago. I didn't even focus on the math there. The GNSO Council asked the policy staff to put together a list of technical requirements or potential requirements for Who Is services. There have been suggestions for a long time that there were problems, that there were deficiencies in the current service. After all, and this is an ongoing battle as to what who really should even be doing or shouldn't be doing, fundamentally it was designed for something very different from what it's usually used for now. You know, way back when it was set up just as a system for administrators to get in touch with each other when there was a problem. But the fact is, the commercialization of the Internet changed requirements significantly. Needs for the ability to get in touch with owners of domains or administrators of domains. The system didn't keep up. The original whois just for network contacts became the base for just any types of attempts to reach the whois owners or administrators for any reason related to the domain. And that led to a lot of concerns being raised that the system was deficient. At the same time, along the way, there's been a lot of proposals raised for different uses of whois and for different possibilities of how to manipulate or access whois data. These are fundamentally technical requirements, and they're requirements that, again, fundamentally come down to policy issues. Should there be, for example, tiered access? Or other methods than the typical batch or just website access. And even though these are really policy questions, should something be allowed? The survey is designed, or the request in 2009 was to, well, let's at least look at technical requirements for a database system so that it could be used should policy decisions be made to implement one or another feature, one or another requirement. The request was made in 2009. The final report was issued by staff about a year later, in July of 2010. And then in 2011, the GNSO Council started what technically was a drafting team. We weren't a WG yet, we were a DT. The idea was to develop a survey to ultimately come up with an idea of what the community sees as possible requirements in the whois system. In the first instance, just issue a survey and get responses. And then the next instance, as the slide suggests here, to try to get an idea of a consensus of what should be, what requirements should be met by the whois system as it exists potentially now, but I think more realistically, as changes are made, as systems and protocols develop. I think the main word in this title and the main word in this slide and maybe behind the whole presentation is this word important. Sometimes there is a tendency to look at whois efforts, particularly by those of us who have been involved in them for years, to just get the feeling of, oh no, not another one. I don't think that's a fair statement in general, the ones I've been involved with. More policy efforts have all had very specific reasons for their implementation. But the fact is that this effort is particularly important because it's different. It really looks at a broad range of issues to try to determine what the community, the GNSO community specifically, would like to see in the whois system. It provides the opportunity, again, both to see generally what people want and then to gauge the level of agreement. Now, this is in one sense a very broad effort. It really it looks to engage all of the GNSL community. And when I say that, I mean the different GNSL interest groups, or stakeholder groups rather, such as the industry stakeholder group that I work with, constituencies such as the intellectual property constituency, the business constituency, the nonprofits, just every possible stakeholder with a small s that you might find within the ICANN community. But at the same time, it can be seen as fairly narrow because these questions are relatively pointed and they're designed to gauge requirements for specific features. That combination, I think, is unusual. And I think this delving into the real details of who is certainly unprecedented in my time being involved with PIR, and is really the way for the community, individuals or individuals acting on behalf of their constituencies, to have a part in what's next for who is. Have a part in adapting what's been in place and truly making it useful given the realities of what the Internet has become since, around 1994 when commercialization began. I think the survey will be useful not only for, say, within ICANN, it's always dangerous to do what I was about to do. It's useful for, say, the general constituencies of ICANN. But in addition, it will be useful for other groups. IETF is part of ICANN, but the fact is it works in a different way. It has very specific mandate, and I can see the survey results being useful in efforts to look at the protocols. These efforts are ongoing, and I suspect they'll continue for a while. Now, it's important to remember, though, I just mentioned one application. It's important to remember, though, that what we're doing is a technical inventory. It doesn't set up policies. We don't intend to suggest policies. We don't intend to suggest operational rules. The idea is to come up with a report that will say, this is what the community thinks should be in the WHOIS database system, what the technical requirements should be for serving the data up, and what kinds of data. How it's used later, for example, tiered access or something like that, policy and privacy and proxy services, those are later questions, what to do with the data. Those are policy questions or operational questions. Sorry about that. I figure out where I just was and get back there. Now, most recently, and like I said, with WS, we started as the DT, the drafting team. We ultimately became the working group. The bunch of us, and we cover pretty much all constituencies and stakeholder groups that you can think of in ICANN, or at least the GNSO side. I said we want responses from everybody, but the fact is our working group, our drafting team, has had representatives of the stakeholder groups, has had representatives of the constituencies, has been GNSO and business, and it's also, we've had ALAC participation. But we began as a drafting team with the idea of just drafting a survey. Over time, there were some decisions ultimately, or suggestions ultimately ratified by the GNSO, that we broadened our mission we're not only going to draft, but we are going to shepherd the analysis of the survey results. Our initial draft of the survey is online, as you, or the initial report is online for you to examine. And then, obviously, if you know about this session, you know that there's a draft of a potential survey online. Now, we split the survey into 13 sections. There's over 60 questions. I'm not sure about the specific what the final number was. There's a lot of back and forth toward the end. The public comment session opened on May 30th, and we really encourage your comments or comments of anybody else that you can think of. There's just so much a small or comparatively small bunch of us can come up with and can guess and decide is best to examine isn't that necessary to cover. Like I said, I'm not doing well with the mouse today. This is a cover, you know, just obviously a screen snap of the survey tool. Excuse me. It's not very readable. Maybe I should say it's not readable at all, unless you've got a nice large 20 or 23-inch monitor. I'm working off my 13-inch laptop. What I think would be useful to, before we get started, is to ask Barry to kind of take over the screen here and click through a couple of screens of the survey tool. Not so much to see the content, you may not be able to read it, but to see how we have it set up, the different methods of input that are provided by the system to give credit. Wilson Abagaba is responsible for this data survey tool and did a really fine job of taking things from PDF and putting them into a usable online process. Barry?
This is Barry. Can you see my screen okay?
No, I'm still looking at the slide.
I show my
this morning.
Yeah, it works just fine. Can others see my screen, or are they still seeing the slides as well?
Can I put everybody else to sleep?
Now it's sharing.
Now it is? Okay.
Here we go. As you can see, this is a combination of easy thing, just check one, check another. There is room for free-form commenting or free-form response. Both at the bottom or as a side. We've got pull-down lists. Click and choose one of any preset options. Oops. this one other... a ranking type input. Yeah, there are a lot of questions, but there's not a lot of... Well, I think it will probably turn out to take less time than people would expect by seeing the initial set of information. If you notice on the... Could you scroll up, Barry? Over on the right, there's a system for jumping to the different sections also to make navigation easier. Yeah, why don't we go back to the slides. Okay, appreciate it. The survey is, as I mentioned, split into a number of sections. I don't know if this problem is my hand or the fact that the battery in the mouse is dying. I forgot to replace it after this morning session. We begin just by a profile. We're asking for information, say, about you. In general, to get an idea of our survey population, we're not going to get into really detailed issues. This should pass even the EU definitions of privacy protection. The first set of questions talks about just basically issues related to just providing both an accessible and parsable list of domains. Well, what's needed in order to have domain names out there, have systems be able to manipulate them and make use of the information. Second level is just trying to come up with a standard query structure. We can put all the information. The system can have all the information, but if there's no standard way to get to it, you just have a hodgepodge. And in terms of a unified internet, I'm not sure it's useful to have different query setups for each different registrar. So the second level is to define some kind of standard query setup. An obvious follow-on to that is, okay, how do we provide it? How do we define queries? Okay, you've got to have data before you ask questions. So the next step that we want to know about is defining a standard data structure itself for who is responsive. Once the query's been submitted, what does it look like when it comes back? How is it set up when it comes back? Section 4, this is a it's a long-time frustrating issue just in general in the net, is coming up with a set of standardized error messages, but more importantly, how to handle error conditions. There are a lot of error messages out there that are familiar to people. You go to a website and you see 404. If you know the code set, you know what that means. But what's not necessarily so standard is what message is delivered under what set of errors. And again, I'm using examples from outside Whois, but it's the same situation. Having error message so you know what they mean, and so you've got an expectation that when you get one, it really tells you what the problem is. Section 5 involves just submitting queries, the process. After that, we kind of get into coming up with a data model. Again, you can have the information sitting there, but in terms of having a cohesive system, It's best to have some kind of overarching data model to keep some consistency. Number seven is an issue that obviously is getting a lot of attention these days. The whole area of internationalized domain names, and along with that, and this isn't only limited to IDN, but the whole issue of having internationalized registration data requirements they go hand in hand to some extent, but there are different considerations. Section 8 is involved with defining an authentication framework. I think the next three, well, just from the numbering, you know the next three go together. But beyond that, there are certain policy discussions over the years that would need changes to the system to implement. And even apart from those discussions, they're worth raising. Do we want to authenticate? How do you authenticate requests, people who are requesting data? And beyond that, well, how do you authorize people to get in? And then defining a framework and a baseline set of metrics for those processes. And to me, this is one of the best examples of how policy versus survey questions, the survey requirements process, come together. What we want to do is ensure that the WHOIS system, as it evolves, has the ability on a standard basis across the WHOIS universe to be able to do things, produce results that might be requested or required by some kind of policy determination. Question 9 kind of overlaps a policy issue that's out there currently, is just the extent to which all new TLDs should, or all TLDs should operate as WHOIS. And that's in the new registry agreement, the proposed new registry agreement, but there are issues involved in how to make it happen. Number 10 is a who-was system. Again, this is an old issue, been around as long as I've been working on these issues of, well, we know who owns a domain now. What about who used to own it? And that might be useful for businesses, for law enforcement, for consumers. I mean, it's not in place now, but if there's a policy decision that it should be, what should it be able to handle? What requirements should be in place in case the requirement comes down that there be a who-was system? Or in case a number of companies, registries or registrars decide to put them in place, have this baseline so that they operate consistently. And then finally, just there's a section of questions that are kind of specifically aimed at registrars and registries and their view of what's required and how the system would operate. That's a general, to be honest, well, I'm sorry, should get into the process. We will review the public comments, and I assure you we will. There'll be a proposed final draft. The survey will be released for 30 days. We'll look at the results, produce a final report, and following the usual process, submit it to the GNSO Council. The survey itself, you can see the link there, and a link to our wiki, and a link below that to the comment post that, again, you've probably seen since you're here. Here is, again, the link for the survey. That's not a typo in the middle there. I had not even really looked at the URL until the first presentation. It is .ug. That's not a typo for .org. Please take the survey. give us your comments on it and encourage other people that you know who might be interested to do that. The more we get, the better the final survey will be, the better it is, the better the final product will be. Appreciate your attention. A little burp through the slides there. Glad to take questions. Yes, you may.
Can you hear me, please? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now you just came in. Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Just a clarification. Is it a common period above the survey, or it is a period to take the survey? That is what I want to know now. We wanted people to comment the survey or to take the survey.
No, the URL and the URL in the announcement. Well, okay, let me answer that a little more simply than I was going to. What we've posted now is a draft survey, and what we're looking for is comments on what we've posted. We'll take those comments and use them to adjust this draft. The next thing that comes out will be the final survey that we'll analyze. At this point, it's just please take the survey for purposes of telling us what you think of it, what we should add, what we should take out, whatever else strikes you as appropriate.
It's Michael Young speaking. It's also posted as a typical public comment piece. So we've posted a finite copy, fixed copy, for comment. And if you follow the link that you see in the presentation file here, you can actually participate in a temporary survey system we've put up to get some more dynamic feedback, where you can. But you, if you simply want to post some public commentary after looking at the survey statically, then you're welcome to do that.
Right, I forgot that part.
Thank you.
Chuck? Chuck, are you on mute?
Yes, I was intentionally because I had to answer the door.
Oh, okay. I know that routine.
I hustled back, so let me, thanks. And
danger of working from home.
Sorry, yeah, that's correct. In my home office, that's where I usually work, as you know. Okay, so my first question is this, ultimately, when this survey is finished and it goes out to people, am I correct in understanding that it's just intended to be completed by technical folks?
Don, do you want me to take that one?
Sure. I mean, I've got an off-the-cuff response, but sure.
I'm passionately, Chuck, no, it's meant to be taken by anybody, and what we've done with the more technical questions is we've created hover buttons above the terms that people might not be familiar with in an attempt to help the less technical be able to answer the questions. Although, quite admittedly, some of the questions may be, even with some assistance, may be too technical for everybody to answer.
I would agree with that. And I would say that there's also questions that technical people won't be able to answer without going to somebody else on their team because they're policy related or they're legally related or even, legally within a particular jurisdiction, some of the things with regard to privacy and stuff like that. So my impression of the survey is that it's going to be difficult to find any one person who could answer all the questions.
Absolutely agreed, in agreement with that. That's one of the reasons we developed some questions at the beginning for people to self-categorize both their, you know, experience set, background, and interests to help us understand the nature of how they may have answered some of their questions when we try and sort through the data and produce a report on it.
Yeah. Now, thanks, Michael. So in the final survey, then, is the intent then that depending on how you answer the questions on probably the first page, then only a subset of the questions will come up for those type of people?
I don't know.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. So you would need then to make it clear to people that they can, if not skip questions, just pick the no answer in cases where there is a no answer. And there are quite a few of those where there's a no answer option, and that helps. Don, I hope I'm wrong, but I think your statement that it'll take less time than you think, I guess it depends on how much time you think it'll take.
good point.
But,
yes,
but
I'm just concerned that it's going to look very daunting, unless there's a lot of research involved. You're right from that standpoint.
So people are going to have to be highly motivated to spend the amount of time it's going to take to do this survey. I personally think it's really important, and I obviously went through it just for comments so far, and I would go through it, although I'd have to skip a lot of the technical questions, but I would probably do the survey with maybe some other people from the organization, from VeriSign, just to help me get through some of it. But I think a big challenge is going to be to get people to spend the amount of time that is needed. I absolutely recognize the criticalness of it, but I know that people are busy. I know that technical people are busy and so forth. So to get them to spend the time, I think we're going to have to consider how we really motivate them to do that. It's one thing to do a 10 to 20 minute survey. Most of us probably shy away from those. This one, I would say, is going to be three times that at least.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck, it's Michael speaking. Ask you a couple of questions back. Do you think we should include a opt-out button, if you will, on every question consistently? And I just want to encourage, if you come up with any ideas on how to encourage people to complete the survey, perhaps having the opt-out button will, you know, shorten it dramatically for some people, so just pay attention to their subject matter area where they have an expertise. But if you come up with any other ideas, we'd really love to hear about them.
Yeah, I don't have any ideas that I think will really work great right now, but I'll be giving that some thought because I think it's really important that you get the data you're looking for. It may require a targeted outreach for people to complete it. Like for example, and I haven't really thought this through a lot, but like for example, within the registry stakeholder group, maybe we need to organize ourselves and try and give good feedback. And I think maybe other SGs and constituencies can do the same. There will be some that are more motivated, like I think your intellectual property people and law enforcement will be motivated. But it is going to be a challenging task, and I think we really do need to spend some time focusing on how we can, I mean, just making it available I don't think is going to get your results. Because it is a daunting task. Important, but daunting. And so I do think it's worthwhile to spend some time focusing on how to really get the results. I can tell you guys work really hard on it, and no criticisms of the questions that are being asked, but it's going to take different areas of expertise. But anyway, I'll leave it at that because I did insert some comments. There are places where you didn't have a no answer or didn't have another option that I suggested. You probably need one there because there's always another. And if people get stuck and none of the choices work, they're probably going to back out of it. So anyway, but thanks, guys, for all the work on this. I do recognize the importance and compliment you on what you've done.
Appreciate that. One follow-up request. You know, you're right. So many questions butt up against policy. Some of the questions was very hard to craft to try to avoid that. If you could, it would be real helpful to point out which ones you see as possibly presenting policy considerations or the legal.
Yeah, what I can do, Don, is go. I'll have to go. I didn't do that in the comments I put. I'll try and find time in the next week or so to go back and identify ones that require policy, which ones require maybe even legal expertise. I can probably, it'll still take quite a bit of time to go through all 13 areas, but I'll try and do that. By the way, to do that, you have to answer the questions at least on the first page, because if you leave any blank, it won't let you go on. So one of the difficulties that I found, I tried to just skip through the questions and put comments at the bottom.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Wouldn't let me go on until I answered.
That's interesting.
So that's a problem with doing that right now. So I had to put an answer at every question before it would let me go on.
Yeah, we could probably do something about that. Thank you.
That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay, thanks, guys. I'll let other people talk.
Right. No, thanks for your thought, Chuck. Yovi?
Yovi speaking. Thank you, Barry. The answer is very clear. My question, I would like to know the way people are going to take the server later. If people have to do it one time, or they will be able to do it, like they do a portion today, they can save it, they can come back another day and continue. So will it be posting this way in the survey when it's time to take it? Or once you want to take it, you have to finish everything? I'm not on the page, but I just want to understand.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. I believe there is a save feature in there. Michael?
Yeah, there is, Don. Don, we discussed that. You'll be able to save your session and come back and complete the survey at a later time if you want to.
Okay.
I thought that was the case, but when I went through it, I just kind of sat back and tore through and didn't bother.
Yeah. I'm not sure we have it on right now in the trial version that we have up. But the plan is to have it in the final version.
Fair enough. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, we please.
Yeah.
Yeah, we speaking. It's a more general question. We are talking about a UI, and then I want to know if this work your group is doing is to improve UIs. My understanding is that some people would like to move to another protocol. So the work you are doing is to improve UIs, or to this will take you to a stage where when you decide to do something different, or just to improve the current protocol that is WAIT? That is my question.
Okay, well, the IETF WEIRDS group, and that's an acronym, and I don't remember exactly what it stands for, but there is an ongoing group within the IETF that's looking at protocol changes for the standard WHOIS protocol. Again, that would be the technical side thing. What we're looking at here is the service requirements. What would be the elements of WHOIS that would be put in place using the protocol, however it develops. So there are kind of they're separate but parallel efforts. I really think what we come up with could help guide the protocol writers, developers. That answer your question?
Yeah, clear. That's clear. Thank you.
Okay, great. At least Michael and I are kind of sitting on the side and watching the weirds process, because it's both for itself and our interest, but it sometimes it gives ideas.
It's Michael speaking. It's a really interesting process in the weirds group because there's a lot of creativity going on, and the conversation all of a sudden swings back towards, as Don says, consideration for what requirements or what functionality are they really trying to solve for. So you'll see a bunch of technical people discussing a particular portion of the technical problem in detail, stop suddenly in the middle of debate in that list and turn around and say, wait a second, what are we trying to solve for again? So it reinforces the importance of a survey like this to give them clearer information to help them focus their efforts and their work.
Chuck?
Yes, I wasn't going to jump in again, but I thought I'd better. The more I think about it, and I'm going to continue to mull this over, as I know you guys will as well, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm thinking that you may need to divide the survey up to particular targeted groups, like policy, like legal, like technical. And you might have more realistic chances of getting people to focus on it, because that will make it a lot easier. Now, that may be a daunting task. I don't know. But I think that's one way that you might get better results. We're still going to have to do a lot of motivating, I think, but come up with other ideas. But that might be one way that makes it a little less daunting, because if it's in your area of expertise, you can do it much more quickly, which is, I think, what Don was getting at. If it's not, it really slows you down. So even if you're just clicking a bunch of no answers. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.
No, appreciate it. Definitely. Yuvi?
Yuvi speaking. Just would like to know if there is a plan to have the survey in that language to in the future. When it is ready to be posted, if it will be available in other languages too. Thank you.
Very interesting thought. I can't say that it's a plan to, but I think it is a very interesting idea.
You didn't get my question?
No, I did. I said I can't say this is a plan to do that, but I think it's a very worthwhile suggestion.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions, follow-ups? Comments? I'm just scanning down the chat to make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay. Well, if there aren't any at this point, any final thoughts, Michael?
No, I just want to thank everyone for coming to the presentation. And I know a lot of you represent various stakeholder groups or are well connected in the community. So I really appreciate you, passing on what you've learned today to others and encourage them to comment on the draft survey. Originally, we weren't planning on a public comment period, Chuck, to kind of your earlier point, our real effort with this was to, you know, make the survey as effective as possible, also to get feedback from stakeholders on maybe some key questions that they feel that we might have missed. And then, you know, also through this process, just building a larger than typical awareness for ICANN, ICANN-sponsored or ICANN-centric surveys, you know, because doing a long public comment period and having a lot of discussion about it means that, you know, as we all know, a lot more of the community will have awareness. So by the time we put out the final survey, hopefully we'll get a larger-than-average response rate. So I do thank everyone, and I encourage them to help us spread the word about this and increase awareness of the you know, what we're trying to do here, and that there'll be a final survey out near the end of the summer for them to take.
Great. Okay. Looking again? No. I don't see any other hands up in the room. So, again, thanks very much for your participation. It's really helpful. We can end the call.